Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 80 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Brian Courtney.
The notion that they can claw back those benefits after they've been granted and after they've been retired, you'll certainly vociferously fight against that idea.
State officials are unhappy with the proposed changes to the state retirement system.
The renovation and expansion of Moorhead State University's ADUC is 54% complete.
Expansion of the AA highway is underway in Mason County.
13 people have been indicted in Brown County.
A murder trial is underway in Greenup Circuit Court.
In sports, MSU's volleyball team plays host to Marshall at 6 p.m.
Bud Luke brings us the stocks.
Thunderstorms are possible tonight with a low of 62 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Several state officials are unhappy with the proposed changes to Kentucky's pension system. Stephanie Winkler, president of the Kentucky Education Association, worries the recommendations from the group hired by Governor Bevin will be problematic for state employees. She spoke with the Lexington Herald Leader.
The PFM report had some pretty drastic recommendations that we think are not what's in the best interest for public school employees and public school students. And right now we need to focus on working with legislators to craft some a bill that makes sense.
While other officials have shared similar concerns, the consultant contends the changes are necessary to fix the poorly funded system. We'll have more on those proposed changes during our feature segment later in the show.
As donations to support relief efforts in the wake of Hurricane Harvey pour in, the Better Business Bureau is advising Kentuckians to be on the lookout for scams. Heather Clary is with the BBB. She says donors should verify the trustworthiness of relief organizations.
One of the best ways to help is to give your money to organizations that know what they're doing, that are experienced with disaster relief. Some groups might try to pop up overnight and go down there to help, but if they're not experienced at this, they may have difficulty getting down there. You want to help the organizations that know what they're doing. They already have a presence in the area and can make those dollars useful for those who need it as quickly as possible.
Clary adds that the Better Business Bureau has a wing specialized in charities. You can visit the BBB Giving Alliance's website at give.org.
A group of horses from Texas is waiting out the storm by staying in Kentucky. Haley Hansen has the story.
Pine Hollow Farm was in Lexington for a horse show when Hurricane Harvey hit Texas. Sarah Rice rides with Pine Hollow and tells WKYT while their barn, which is northeast of Houston, was not seriously hit, their biggest concern is driving home.
Any high water or road blockages or downed trees can make you be stuck for unknown amounts of time.
Another barn from the Houston area is also waiting in Lexington for flooding to calm down in their home state. I'm Haley Hansen.
With a year left on the Adron-Doran University Center renovation project, things are slightly ahead of schedule. That's according to Facilities Management, Marketing, and Communications Manager Shayla Ring. The $49.5 million project broke ground last August and is currently 54% complete. Ring says there will be multiple dining lounges and gathering areas for students.
There will be some fireplaces in it, so it's going to be a place that we want our students to utilize after 5 o'clock. We want them to come into it and feel at home and gather together, utilize it for classes, but also for just kind of socializing and getting to know each other and what campus is all about.
The construction will add 75,000 square feet and renovate almost every area of the existing structure. The 22-month project is on track to be complete in the fall of 2018.
By building one facility to house its police and fire departments, along with the Moorhead's emergency dispatchers, the city will save a lot of money. That's according to Jim Tom Trent, Moorhead's mayor.
We budgeted $4 million, $500,000 for the piece of property, if necessary, and then $3.5 million for the building combined. If both buildings were built separately, it would be about $4 million total, not including property. So it's going to save us between $500,000 and $1 million if this all takes place.
Trent hopes to announce in the coming weeks the location of Moorhead's new public safety center. Negotiations for the property are continuing. According to Trent, having a combined facility should work well for the city's police and fire departments, which often conduct joint training exercises.
A Moorhead area housing service for low-income families has come into more money for constructing energy-efficient homes. Cave Run Area Habitat for Humanity serves Rowan, Bath, Carter, Fleming, Menifee, and Morgan counties. Executive Director Greg Dyke is one of two salaried workers that build homes for families that can't afford a down payment.
The mortgages that they end up with, you know, will be usually a lot less than what they're paying. And because the houses are built to be energy efficient, their electric costs, it's an all-electric house, the electric costs will be far less usually than what they're paying. So they'll save money moving to a new house versus what they could rent for.
Dyke says a new $21,000 grant from the Cincinnati Federal Home and Loan Bank means his organization can build five new homes at a reduced cost. He says families who apply for the new houses will be accepted based on income, credit, and need. More information on the requirements is online at moorheadhabitat.org.
The U.S. Forest Service could eventually be getting crushed and refined glass from the Moorhead Recycling Center to use on its trails in the Daniel Boone National Forest. Cumberland District Ranger John Kazmierski says he's been researching the idea and talking with experts about its possibilities. However, Kazmierski adds, at this point, there's no target date for starting such an effort.
The road's in pretty good shape, but there's still a lot of work that needs to be done to keep the road in good shape, including fixing many of the ditch lines, replacing culverts, and also doing some more rock work. So right now, we don't have the funds to do that work. We're anticipating about another $40,000, maybe a little bit more of work there.
Kazmierski says he's been talking with officials in London, Kentucky, who've already started using recycled crushed glass on walking paths in their area.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is working to complete an $18 million project that is adding five more miles of four-lane capacity to the AA highway in Mason County. Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair thinks it will be finished in the next month or two. He notes it's an important initiative for those who regularly travel the notoriously busy roadway.
This project came about as an effort to improve that traffic flow, give traffic some extra room to travel out there and improve the capacity of the highway, especially around the Mason region. So, it is wrapping up this summer. We hope to have that open in the next few months to all the way to four-lane traffic.
The project is making the section of the AA between U.S. 68 and Maysville and the Fernleaf area four lanes. Blair says possible weather issues could affect the effort's expected completion date.
Phone scammers will do just about anything to solicit personal information from you. That's the word from Rowan County Sheriff Matt Sparks. Modern technology now allows scammers to mimic area codes and in some cases entire phone numbers. Sparks says legitimate organizations will never ask for personal details over the phone.
Anytime people ask you for any personal information, never provide it. No one's going to call you on the phone and ask for personal information who's legitimate. Date of birth, social security numbers, those type of account numbers. Hey, this is your bank. We have a typo or a problem with your account number. Can you give us that account number again? So I think the main thing is just never giving any personal information to anyone over the phone, no matter who they say they are.
Telemarketers will also change their area codes in an effort to make you pick up the phone. To sign up for Kentucky's no-call list, visit nocall.ky.gov.
13 people have been indicted by a Rowan County grand jury. WMKY's Sean Delaney has the story.
According to the Moorhead News, the indictments were handed down on August 18th. 26-year-old Keith Dustin Hall was indicted for sexual abuse of a child under 12 years old. Hall was named in a second indictment for theft of a legend drug. 20-year-old James T. Campbell and Carson Gray, who is also 20, for allegedly causing more than $6,000 in damages to a Phi Air medical helicopter. The pair were charged with criminal mischief and criminal trespassing. 35-year-old Chad Basham was indicted for three counts of wanton endangerment and disorderly conduct. 35-year-old Mitchell Ray Kitt for possession of a controlled substance, operating a motor vehicle under the influence, and possession of drug paraphernalia. 34-year-old Shannon Leigh Howard for one count of theft by deception over $10,000 and 10 counts of theft by deception. 34-year-old Susan Ray Basso for possession of a controlled substance, public intoxication of a controlled substance. 48-year-old Diane Sue Blair for theft by unlawful taking. Blair was also indicted for expired registration plates and operating on a suspended or revoked license. 36-year-old Sarah E. Collins for theft by unlawful taking, possession of a controlled substance, and possession of drug paraphernalia. 18-year-old Eric D. Shaw, 19-year-old Alex N. Wash, and 19-year-old Matthew A. Stewart for burglary, receiving stolen property, and criminal mischief. And two counts of possession of a controlled substance and possession of marijuana and drug paraphernalia charges were dismissed against Danny Max Fulton Jr. I'm Sean Delaney for WMKY News.
Two people have died following a four-vehicle crash in Floyd County. County Coroner Greg Nelson confirmed the deaths of a woman and a young boy around 4 p.m. yesterday. The well-being of the other victims is currently unknown. They were taken to local hospitals. Rainy weather caused dangerous driving conditions leading up to the crash. Prestonsburg resident April Sward spoke with WYMT.
The roads are very wet. The water's standing. It's very dangerous. I was actually doing about 40 and trying to hydroplane, so caution is definitely a must.
U.S. 23 through Prestonsburg has reopened after being closed for several hours. The names of the two victims were released this afternoon, 47-year-old Monica Christine Polly of Shelbyana and 8-year-old Wesley Eugene Bryan.
An ambulance was hit by gunfire Tuesday morning after it responded to a medical call. Charleston police tell WSAZ that 911 responded to a call around 2:50 a.m. for a man with leg pain near Central Avenue and Vine Street. Police say after the ambulance arrived, shots rang out. The injured person ran and took cover. The ambulance also left the scene. Police can't say if the ambulance was the target of the gun attack. CPD recovered shell casings consistent with an assault-style rifle. A bullet also hit a nearby dental office. Police say at least 10 rounds were fired during the incident, and according to CPD, a dark SUV and tan Nissan Pathfinder fled the scene. Nobody was injured in the attack.
A Moorhead police official is warning city residents to remain on the lookout for thieves who've been stealing items from vehicles parked in their driveways. Most of the incidents have occurred recently in the area of Knapp Avenue, although a few incidents have happened in Clearfield. According to Lieutenant Matt Sally, there have been no further incidents since his department recently posted pictures on its Facebook page of the suspects taken from a resident's surveillance video camera. His officers have also increased their patrols in the Knapp Avenue neighborhood. Sally believes those perpetrating the crimes live somewhere around that part of the city.
They're on foot in that video, and judging by the fact that they didn't take heavy items that were of value, like tools and stuff like that, that tells me that they probably didn't have anything to put it in. Plus, nobody saw them or heard them. They would probably hear a vehicle. And I think because they're walking, that they're in walking distance of wherever it is they live or they're staying.
Sally advises Moorhead residents to be sure to keep their homes, vehicles, and outbuildings locked at night.
The murder trial of an Argolite man continues this week in Greenup County Circuit Court. WMKY's Cody Robinson reports.
22-year-old J.D. Clark is on trial for the 2016 murder of Todd Rowe. 22-year-old J.D. Clark is on trial for the 2016 murder of Todd Rowe. 35-year-old Rowe was found dead outside of Johnny Bill Clark's mobile home on January 9th of 2016 with multiple shotgun wounds to the head and chest. While the defense says it's a case of self-defense, the prosecution is calling it a murder. Its first called witness, Darren Goble, said Monday that Johnny Bill Clark, the father of J.D. Clark, pinned Rowe to the floor as the younger man shot him. Johnny Bill Clark will stand trial later this fall. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
Tonight, cloudy early with possibility of a shower or thunderstorm expected to clear late. Low of 62. Chance of rain, 20%. On Wednesday, cloudy with a chance of stray thunderstorms. High of 82, chance of rain, 20%. Thursday, cloudy skies in the morning followed by scattered showers and thunderstorms in the evening with a chance of rain at 40% and a high of 78. Friday, showers and thunderstorms, chance of rain 90%, high of 72. Saturday, overcast with rain showers at times, chance of rain 60%, high of 74.
The time is 4:45. You are tuned in to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Arlo Barnett here with Brian Courtney, and we're happy you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, members of the Public Pension Oversight Board heard findings and recommendations from an audit performed by the PFM Group on Monday about what can be done to fix the pension crisis. Leanne Akers has the story.
PFM Managing Director Mike Nadal told board members that the recommendations to fix the state's ailing pension system only work as the framework. According to Spectrum News, an additional $1 million per year is necessary to stabilize the system, which means cutting spending, increasing taxes, or adjusting benefits. Nadal tells the Public Pension Oversight Board that the state could switch to a 401k-style defined contribution retirement benefit for future hires to the retirement with a mix of employer and employee contributions, including a mandatory employee contribution of 3% of their salary and a base employer contribution of 2%.
If you kind of add that all up, that means that the total contribution every year could be as much as 14% of salary, of which 5% would be contributed by the Commonwealth or a participating local employer. And those contributions from the employer would vest on an incremental basis in full after 5 years of employment.
Another recommendation was to shift future teachers to a combination of Social Security participation and a defined contribution benefit plan. Teachers would be eligible for retirement at age 65, as opposed to the current 27 years of service.
And it would continue to allow for teachers to have a portion of their overall retirement savings through Social Security under effectively a defined benefit mode, while reducing the Commonwealth's risks associated with that coverage and reducing the risk of the kind of escalating unfunded liabilities and amortization payments that have been experienced.
Nadal has proposed a number of recommendations affecting current plan participants, which include an optional buyout or freezing the accrued benefits service.
This is the same general concept that would be undertaken for a private sector plan that was in fiscal distress at below a 60% funded level. It would involve fully continuing and protecting and preserving those benefits that have already been earned through existing years of service, and those would all be treated consistent with the pension benefit formula under the defined benefit plan.
State Auditor Mike Harmon said in a statement that, quote, the recommendations made by PFM are only recommendations, but they do provide a starting point for discussions on how to best move forward. It will be up to Governor Bevin and the leadership in the House and Senate to develop legislation that would fund the system and honor the inviolable contract with our retired and active state employees, end quote. The Kentucky Public Pension Coalition expressed disappointment with the recommendations in a statement, saying that the elimination of, quote, years of service retirement eligibility would cruelly move goalposts of retirement for so many hardworking current public employees and would force some, who are just months shy of retirement, to work an additional 10 to 15 years without any increase in benefits. The next Public Pension Oversight Board meeting is scheduled for September 25th. For WMKY News, I'm Leanne Akers.
The time is 4:48. You're still listening to Mountain Edition on WMKY News. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed cream and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Good afternoon with WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. A big one at home tonight for the Moorhead State volleyball team, which entertains regional rival Marshall at 6 o'clock at Weatherby Gym. While the Eagles are 2-1 this season, the Thundering Herd is winless in three outings, but MSU coach Jamie Gordon says they're much better than their record would indicate.
You know, Marshall's a very good team. They, similar to us, have the ability to put a lot of different players on the court and play at a high level. They're a very physical team at the net. I think that our service game is going to have to be on point so that we can get them out of system.
MSU is 45-24 lifetime against Marshall. A win tonight for the Eagles would help them match their best start to a season since 2010. After getting yesterday off, the Cincinnati Reds welcomed the New York Mets into Great American Ballpark tonight to start a three-game series. Despite being in last place in the NL Central and having the National League's third-worst record, manager Brian Price says he's been pleased with his team this season.
I think anyone that's listening to me talk that looks at the Reds at 20 games under 500 is going to say, hey, this guy's a nutcase if he's going to sit there and talk about how great the team is. But what we do is show up every day and play hard. And as we continue to tighten things up and get stronger and get healthier with our pitching, you know, I think this could be something that could happen rather quickly where we start to become a team that isn't just talking about playing hard, but it's actually talking about winning streaks and better positioning in the standings.
3-5 Sal Romano pitches for the Reds this evening. 3-2 Chris Flexen goes for the Mets. Moorhead State football coach Rob Tenier says he's excited to start seeing what kind of team he'll have this fall. That will happen on Thursday night when MSU entertains Kentucky Christian in their season opener. Tenier believes the Eagles have the making to be a very good team.
I love our leadership. I love our practice intensity and I like the makeup of the competition that we have in practice. And I really hope that fuels them to play with great effort and just that competition, that edge.
Kentucky Christian is already 0-1 this season. The Knights were crushed at home in their season opener last Saturday by Faulkner, 63-8. Kentucky's new season doesn't start until Saturday when the Wildcats visit Southern Mississippi. UK coach Mark Stoops thinks the Cats are as ready as they can be, saying they've had a good August camp.
You know, we got a lot better. We had a physical camp. We feel like we developed some depth, and I like where we're at. I really do. I feel like we're an improved football team.
The Cats will be looking to avenge last year's 44-35 loss to Southern Miss in Lexington. Saturday's game in Hattiesburg will start at 4 p.m. Louisville also plays on Saturday. The Cardinals will kick off their 2017 schedule against Purdue. Coach Bobby Petrino says he and Boilermakers head coach Jeff Brohm are good friends, but all those good feelings will go out the window this weekend.
This game's about our players, and, you know, we need to do a good job of getting our players ready to play, and, you know, they need to go out on the field and perform the way we're capable of performing. So I think that's what we have to focus on, is having a great week of practice and really getting ready, you know, to go out there and perform well.
Saturday's UofL-Purdue game will be played in Indianapolis. Round County football coach Kelly Ford vows his team will learn from its 30-20 defeat last Friday to Bath County. Ford says the outing revealed that the Vikings have some very important things to work on.
We still got to tackle. You know, our kids are, we had a lot of missed tackles in that game. We was in great position to make plays. We just didn't make the plays. I was real pleased with our offensive line. I know it didn't seem that we didn't move the ball a lot, but we up front, we still got to learn to stay on blocks and finish blocks. And our running backs, they got to see the holes and hit it the way they need to hit it.
The 1-1 Vikings will play Mason County this Friday night. With the turf project continuing on around Soam Field, the contest will be played at Moorhead State's Jane Stadium. The Cincinnati Bengals are gearing up for their last game of the preseason on Thursday against the Indianapolis Colts. Head coach Marvin Lewis says this game will be used to determine who will make the final roster for the regular season.
It's the main focus. You know, I mean, it's part of the focus, obviously. And, you know, that's the thing that matters most, is to try to give opportunity for guys to show where they belong, the opportunity to stay here, and so forth. So, you know, that's really literally the focus of that.
The Bengals' regular season gets started on September the 10th at home against the Ravens. Finally in sports, both Round County soccer teams are in action tonight. After being outscored 6-1 in its last two games, the Round County boys welcome George Rogers Clark into Moorhead at 7:30. Head coach Max Hammonds says it will be another tough matchup for his Vikings.
This is probably the toughest stretch in our schedule right now, is these three games, you know, with Montgomery County, Pendleton, and GRC. I mean, these teams are real well organized, and, you know, they've got a lot of good soccer players on them, and I expect another really good game tonight.
As for the Round girls, they visit Frenchburg for a makeup game with Menifee County. That game gets started at 7:30 as well. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Volleyball welcomes Marshall tonight at 6, and football opens their schedule Thursday, hosting Kentucky Christian at 6 p.m. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks regained their footing to close higher as investors evaluated the tension between the U.S. and North Korea. And at one point earlier, the Dow was down over 100 points, and the blue chip average came back to finish with a gain of 56.97 at 21,865.37. The S&P 500 finished with a gain of 2.06 at 2,446.30, and the NASDAQ Composite was the best performer of the major indices, finishing with a gain of 18.87 or 0.3% at 6,301.89. A South Korean military official reported that the missile fired from North Korea actually flew 1,678 miles and reached a maximum altitude of 342 miles. And analysts are saying the tensions between North Korea and the U.S. have now reached levels unseen since 1994, when the Clinton administration considered airstrikes on North Korea's main nuclear facility. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe told reporters that the missile fired by North Korea was a ballistic missile that actually flew over Japan, and President Donald Trump said in a statement that all options are on the table for dealing with North Korea. In economic news, the S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller Home Price Index rose slightly from May to June. Consumer confidence hit 122.9 in August, which was higher than the expected number of 120.3. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.4% to finish at $46.38 a barrel. Gold was down less than 0.1% at $1,314.30 an ounce. Overseas markets were mostly weak. In Europe, the Stock 600 was down 1%, and in the Far East, the Japanese Nikkei Index was down 0.45%, and the Hang Seng Index was down 0.3%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were United Technologies and Boeing. The worst performers were Nike and DuPont. In the S&P 500, the best performers were United Rentals and, again, United Technologies. And your worst performers in the S&P 500 were Best Buy and Under Armour. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 36 cents at 60.90, AEP down 17 cents at 73.93, AK Steel up 4 cents at 5.51, Marathon Petroleum down $1.12 at 51.40, CSX up 48 cents at 49.78, and Kroger was up 9 cents to finish at 21.81. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Eagle Finance, presents the 25th Annual Poppy Mountain Bluegrass Festival, September 8th through the 16th at Poppy Mountain Campgrounds, US 60 East in Moorhead. Featuring 50 bands, including the Lonesome River Band, Larry Cordell, Russell Moore and Third Time Out, Still Drivers, Gary Brewer and Kentucky Ramblers, and many more. Camping daily and weekend passes. Tickets at 606-784-2277 and online at poppymountainbluegrass.com.
We got the weather again for you. Tonight, cloudy early with possibility of a shower or thunderstorm. Expected to clear late. Low of 62, chance of rain 20%. Wednesday, it's cloudy with a chance of stray thunderstorms. A high of 82, chance of rain 20%. Thursday, cloudy skies in the morning, followed by scattered showers and thunderstorms in the evening. Chance of rain 40%, high of 78. Friday, showers and thunderstorms. Chance of rain 90% with a high of 72. And Saturday, overcast with rain showers at times. Chance of rain 60%, high of 74. Got the current temperatures here for you. In Ashland, it's 80 degrees. Flemingsburg, 77 degrees. Inez, 80 degrees. Winchester, 78 degrees. In Lexington, it's 78 degrees, and here in Moorhead, it is 80 degrees.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff members Chuck Mraz, Ellen Barnett, Sean Delaney, Braxton Howard, Logan Pemberton, Jacob Lindberg, and Cody Robinson. From the Kentucky News Network, Haley Hansen, and with our feature segment this afternoon, Assistant News Director Leanne Akers. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Brian Courtney and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arlo Barnett, WMKY News. All Things Considered from NPR is next. It's 5 o'clock.